So the verses that we've been working through over the last lot of weeks, apart from last week now with the enrollment service, and we will finish out the last bit next week. But it's by grace that you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. Thinking today, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that nobody can boast. And then it goes on to say that we are God's workmanship, and as we receive his grace, then we live in a way that serves him. So that's where we're going next week. But just by way of recap, do you remember? G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. We thought about Les Mis. We thought about this act of grace, more than mercy, that how the bishop went over and beyond in an act of grace towards Jean Valjean, and how that is exactly what Christ has done. We receive God's riches only at the expense of Christ, who has given his life that we might have life. We thought about it by grace that you're saved through faith, forsaking all, I trust him. We thought about Charles Blondin taking his tightrope walk across Niagara Falls and everybody cheering and hollering and shouting, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You could take somebody across on your back or in a wheelbarrow, but when he said, would anybody like to get in? Whoa, different story. The act of faith wasn't there the same until Harry Colcord, his manager, climbed on his back. And this is recorded, and he took him across Niagara Falls on his back, on a tightrope, an act of faith. This is not of yourselves. Anybody any guess what picture might come up? He's making a list and he's checking it twice and he's going to find out who's naughty or nice. And you'll only get Christmas presents if you've been a good boy or girl. And that is not grace. And if you're like me, you're probably sitting there thinking, aye, but Gordy, it's right. You should just jolly well get something if they've been good. And yet, that's not how God treats us. It's not of yourself. It's not by your works so that you cannot turn around and say, I earned even just the wee tiniest bit of this. It's not about us at all. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. As we come to Jesus in his grace, we come in faith and we come with nothing because it's all of him. Gold watch, carriage clock, what do they say to you? Okay, retirement gifts. And what do you get them for? Long service. It's all about you. And so you get a lousy watch or a clock. Salvation is a gift, not a reward, says Warren Wiersbe. Salvation is a gift and not a reward. Actually, really helpful to remember that. Recognizing who we are and who God is. But grace we're saved through faith. I know, like a broken record, aren't I? It's the gift of God. It's not from us. It comes from him. Say, salvation is a gift and not a reward. Paul writes, actually, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given to me through the working of his power, through his spirit in me. God made me alive through the gift of his grace. The gift of his grace. Folks, we need to recognize this. Like we did with the boys and girls. And there's a few Haribo left. But we need to receive the gift. And I love this verse in 2 Corinthians 9 and 15. thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. It's like, here, it's like the writer Paul is just saying, what I've received is just astounding. In fact, it's so astounding, it's indescribable. I can't begin to tell you what it's about. It reminds me a little bit again, as we begin to head towards Christmas, the shepherds in Luke 2, and they'd seen the gift of God, the angel Gabriel, and then the angel choir announce, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And they go and search. There's something awakens in them that they go and search for this gift, and they find the Lord, and they're just bursting. And then they go back. It says of them, they spread the word concerning what been told them about the child, and they returned back to the fields, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard. As something changed within them. Those who are the outcasts are the ones who it's first revealed to that a Savior has been born. Reminds me too of the resurrection. The first to hear, the first to be witnesses are the women who were kind of almost disregarded at the time in society, which was wrong. And yet they're the first that this great revelation of resurrection and forgiveness of sin is revealed to. The 10 lepers, we know the story, don't we? Well, actually, the one who properly received the gift, and they were all healed, but he was the one who came back and said, thank you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. The gift only means anything, folks, if we receive it. And again, the question today is, have we received that great gift of God's grace in Jesus? And so the question is, how do we respond to it? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And as I thought about this, it is the gift of God. But a gift is only any use if it's received and then it's put into action. And so I just want to stop there and think, how do we respond, or how can we respond to God's gift? And as I kind of thought through Scripture, different stories that came to mind, it is so easy to refuse God's gift. They would say one of the saddest passages in Scripture, in Luke chapter 18, about this rich young man who came to Jesus, and he had everything. He had the clothes and the car and the house and the holidays, and everything was going for him when he was a young cub. And he came to Jesus, but there was something missing. Lord, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Again, all these I've kept since I was a boy. He says, well, go give all that you have. And Jesus was pushing the envelope to test his heart, because actually there was an idol in his heart. He hadn't kept the commandments, although he thought he was fairly good. But just verse 18, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Now, not because he had great wealth, so don't be thinking, oh, God, I have too much in my bank account, I can't love Jesus. You can. But for here in this story, the young man came with a hungry heart to Jesus and walked away because he felt there was something missing. And he wasn't prepared to pay the cost. There's a really interesting passage of Scripture in Acts 24. We'll not take time to read through them all. But Paul has been on his missionary journeys. He's been arrested. He's in prison again. And the governor, the king Felix, keeps kind of meeting with him and chatting to him about the things of faith. And kind of there's something again stirring in Felix. He knows that there's something there. And yet as the passage goes on, we read that he says, in their conversations, many conversations, that's enough for now. When I find it more convenient, I'll send for you. That's enough for now. When I find it more convenient, I'll send for you. And we never read of Felix again in Scripture. So I can't stand here in the platform and say he refused the Lord completely and forever. I don't know that. But up until here in the story and what we have recorded of him, he pushed the things of God away. And we only know that that convenient time didn't seem to come. Folks, that can be for you and for me. And maybe often at times of, as we've gone through in church recently, times of bereavement, when actually spiritual questions well up more within us and our own mortality wells up within us. And we sense God is speaking to us, but we refuse him again. We think, oh no, when I find it more convenient, whenever I'm older, whenever I'm whatever. How do we respond to the Lord? To abuse the Lord. The 9 lepers didn't come back. The 1 came back and said thank you and reveled in God's goodness and grace to him and healing him physically. But the 1 came back and said thank you. Can we be somebody who kind of abuses God's grace and goodness? An attitude of ingratitude. Maybe like the story of Ananias and Sapphira, and I'm just scanning over here. Folks who'd come to faith in Jesus, who were experiencing all the life of the early church, and it was incredible. And all the miracles and all the things they were seeing. And they saw Barnabas sold a field, and he brought the money and he gave it to the apostles that it be used for the good of the church and for the poor and for the hungry and so on. And people talked well of Barnabas. So Ananias and Sapphira thought they would do the same. Thinking, we'll sell a field and we'll bring the money to the apostles' feet. We'll kind of tell them that it's all of it, but we'll keep a wee bit back for ourselves. And they did that. And they were both struck down dead. And the early church were like, oh my goodness. And the fear of the Lord seized them. But they abused God's goodness and grace for the adulation of the crowd. They wanted a good old pat on the back. They wanted to be seen to be very committed and holy. And yet they were pretending on one hand on the inside. If they'd brought just the money and said, this is most of the money or this is however much, everybody still would have been thinking, that's amazing, thank you. But they were trying to trick or to... They were just being fake in some ways. An attitude of ingratitude, the 9 lepers. An attitude looking for adulation from the crowd in Ananias and Sapphira. Simon the sorcerer, anybody know his story? He sees Paul and the disciples healing people and know that it happens through the laying on of hands. And he thinks, oh, I want a wee bit of this. Oh, that's amazing, Paul. Oh, people will be looking, thinking, oh, you're amazing, you're amazing, you're amazing. And he comes to the apostles, comes to Paul, and he offers money. Look, if I give you money, will you give me this Holy Spirit that I can do this so that I will have authority? And people will look at me and think, oh, he's an amazing bloke. How we can abuse the things of God and the gift of God and what he wants to bring to us. He offered them money. Give me also this ability so that everyone I lay my hands on can be healed. People will think I'm amazing. Folks, for you and I, how do we respond? On the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit came on the church, Peter had preached and thousands came to faith and responded. He says, like, brothers, what must we do? And Peter just simply says, repent and be baptized, every one of you. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Folks, for you and I this morning, how do we respond to God's gift of grace? For we are undeserving sinners. It's not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. And so we need to receive in faith the grace that God offers to us. For it is by grace that you've been saved, through faith. It's not from yourselves, not by works, so that nobody can boast. It is the gift of God. But the gift needs to be received. The gift, salvation, is a gift and not a reward. So how do we respond this morning? There's a great story I read in a Brennan Manning book about the golfer. Anybody actually just know lots of golfers in the room? Anybody know who it is on the screen? Not Tony Jacklin. Arnold Palmer. Well done, you guys. The story is told of Arnold Palmer. He was invited. Let me just read from the book. The golfer Arnold Palmer once played a series of exhibition matches in Saudi Arabia. The king was so impressed that he proposed to give Palmer a gift. Palmer demurred. "It isn't really necessary, Your Highness. I'm honored just to have been invited." "I would be deeply upset," replied the king, "if you do not allow me to give you a gift." Palmer thought for a moment and said, All right, how about a golf club? That would be a beautiful memento of my visit to your country." "It's all good," Arnold Palmer thinks. "Just nice wee trophy, put it in the cabinet or whatever." The next day, delivered to Palmer's hotel room, were the title deeds to a 36-hole golf club, thousands of acres, trees, lakes, clubhouse, and so forth. I'm told it's a true story. Brennan Manning says, "The moral of the story is this. In the presence of the king, don't ask for small gifts." Palmer didn't ask for it. I'm told the story is true. But folks, we have been given a much greater gift. And thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. That gift of grace that is received through faith, that's nothing to do with you or me, but is all of him. And as a gift greater than the 36-hole golf course club. How do we respond this morning to recognize and to receive all that the King of Kings has done for us?